Family Sunday. You can hear the pastor once a month, right? How many kids we have in here? It's good to have you. It's so good to have you. Well, I do want to thank the Gideon Ministry. I know a gentleman by the name of Rod Cummins who was in prison. He came across the Gideon Bible while he was in prison, and the Lord changed his life. He thought he was going to spend, I think it was 30 years in jail, and ended up getting out in about 15, and he's an evangelist, and it was because of that Gideon Bible that he had in his hands. So I just thank you for your ministry. It's great. It's great. You know, we're continuing our series today. It's called Why Truth Matters. You know, truth really matters. And, you know, back in the mid-1800s, scientists and physicians, they believed that disease was caused by spontaneous generation. So in other words, they believed that disease arose from inanimate matter or just came out of nothing, came out of nowhere. And they also believed that fleas spontaneously arose from dust. So they just appeared in dust. And that's where we got fleas. They also believe that maggots spontaneously appeared in flesh. And because they were so certain of this, very few of them were searching for the truth. Then in the late 1850s, Louis Pasteur shocked the science and medical community when he told them that through his research, he discovered that there was this unseen world on your skin and on various surfaces. There are these unseen germs, and diseases and sicknesses can be spread by these unseen germs. Pasteur went on to prove that basic hygiene, like washing your hands, this is a good message for kids in this room, isn't it? But he went on to explain that hygiene, like washing your hands with soap, would prevent these germs from spreading and could reduce disease and reduce death. And this was an exciting time for Louis Pasteur, but it was also a very frustrating time because very few scientists and medical professionals believed him. It took years of convincing and many, many deaths before the truth was embraced. And because so many believed a lie, and this lie was killing them. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because the lie is killing us also. It's killing our nation, it's killing our world. You know, thinking back, there was a time in my life when I was so frustrated and I couldn't get ahead, and every decision that I made just seemed to lead to more and more misery. Anybody else live that way? Can I get a witness in here? And there were people out there trying to speak truth into my life, but I refused to listen to them. The truth offended me in a lot of respects, and because it confronted areas in my life that I didn't want to change. And I thought living to please myself was the meaning of life, and I'm serious about that. I really did believe that, you know, if I pursued self-pleasure, that I would find happiness. I thought that chasing all the things of this world would bring me the kind of peace and the kind of happiness that I was looking for. And maybe this is you today. Maybe you find yourself believing the same thing. Maybe you're struggling today, and you're believing a lie, and you're embracing a lie, and you're stuck. And you're trying to pull things together and find peace, and you're trying to make a better life for yourself, but it seems like nothing's working. And it just seems like it's, you know, getting worse and worse. And you want to know the secret to finding true peace and fulfillment in your life? The true secret is to know and to face the truth. It's to know and to face the truth. Now, I don't want to make it that simple, because Jesus says in John chapter 14, I am the truth. He comes in John chapter 1, and we learned this last week, and he says, Scripture says that he is full of grace and full of truth. So he doesn't just represent the truth, he personifies the truth. He represents the truth for us. And if we want to know truth, we gaze upon the person and the works of Jesus Christ if we want to know truth. We turn to his word if we want to know truth. So again, maybe this is you. And you're coming to realize that the lie is killing you, and it's very frustrating, and it seems to be leading nowhere, and you're not really identifying it as a lie, you're just very frustrated, and you can't seem to pull things together. And if you really want to get free, you must know and face the truth. You must know and face the truth about yourself. You must know and face the truth about other people. You must know and face the truth about your sin nature. The Bible says there are none good, no, not one. You have to face that truth, that reality. And I share this all the time. There was a period in my life where I was trying to convince everybody that I was basically a good person. And look, the Bible says there's none good, not one. And when we can face that truth, and we can face our sin nature and the truth about ourselves and where we stand before an almighty and holy God, and we face the truth about our future. And you know, today I'm sort of here to sound the alarm, sort of like Louis Pasteur, who was getting so, he was just getting worked up because he discovered a truth and no one was believing him. Not that I've discovered truth. God has revealed it to me through his word. Through his word. There's an old Indian saying. I love this. I use this one a lot. There's an old Indian saying. It goes like this. If your horse is dead, dismount. And listen, if your horse is dead today, it's time to dismount. Because that horse, that situation's probably because you're believing and you're trusting in a lie. And it's time to dismount from the lie and embrace the truth. Amen? And you see, behind every self-defeating habit in your life is a lie. If you get into debt, it's because you believed a lie about money. If you have trust issues, you have a hard time trusting people, it's because you believed a lie. If you have issues with poor self-image, it's because you believe a lie. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on. But God's word shows you how to get back to the life you were created to live. He shows it to you. And then God's word shows you how to walk and how to live out God's plan, and it shows you how to have lasting joy and lasting peace. So if you want to get free, you have to get the truth. And as long as you build your life on the foundation of lies and misconceptions and deceit and half-truths, you will never change, you will remain in bondage, and you will never be free. And I've seen many, many people live that way all the way to the day that they die. Never free, never experiencing the life that Jesus Christ has for them, never experiencing the truth. And I'll tell you, when God opened up his truth to me, my eyes were open. And there's nothing greater than having your eyes open by the truth of who Jesus is, what his word represents, what it means to be a part of the family of God. I mean, I'll tell you, it was just such an eye-opener for me. And, you know, coming from an unchurched home, I had a lot of background to get a lot of hurdles to get over. I learned a lot about the lies that I believed, and it took some time. And look, we're going to be struggling with this till the day that we die, because we have to live in these sinful bodies, and these sinful bodies are desiring the lie. And we want to chase after it. We find pleasure in it, but then we find that it falls flat. And so I want us to turn today to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And here, a crowd has gathered. And in John chapter 8, verse 30, it tells us that some people in this crowd believe Jesus' words. So Jesus is sharing, he's speaking the truth. And it says that some of them believed Jesus' words, but some didn't. And some were trying to trap him. And they were so offended. What were they offended at? They were offended by the truth. He was speaking truth, and they were offended by the truth. Look what it says in verse 13, chapter 8. It says, so the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. And so they refused to believe, these religious leaders did. And you'll see in our passage today that truth offends. Why? Because it confronts the lie that we believe. And many of us are emotionally attached to the lie. We find ourselves sort of embracing it, and we want to defend it. In other words, think about this. Let's just pretend like your wife is a shopaholic. What happens when you try to speak the truth into the life of a shopaholic? Now, let's just pretend that your husband is spending all of the household money on all of his little hobbies, okay? He's a hobaholic, is what Cody says. And so try to speak truth into someone who's so addicted to all these things to make them happy. Try to take those things away and try to speak truth into that. You see where I'm coming from? It's not easy to speak truth. And this is what was happening in this story and in this scenario here. It's like the movie A Few Good Men, where he says, you can't handle the truth. You remember that? We have such a hard time handling the truth. And these religious leaders had a hard time handling the truth. So let's get into it, right? Let's look at chapter 8, verse 31. It says this, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, make a mark of that, okay? Because now he's specifically talking to the Jews who believed him. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Disciple means follower, okay? And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's a familiar verse. But I want you to know the context here. Context is that some believed, but the religious leaders were accusing him of lying. And they were trying to make him out to be a liar and a blasphemer. A blasphemer means that they were trying to twist it to make it sound like he's speaking against God. And he goes on, look at verse 33. In verse 33, he says this, or it says this, they answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? They were like, we don't need to be free. We're free. We're Abraham's children. So what that means is he's speaking to these Jews, and the Jews always trusted in the fact that they were one of Abraham's children, and that gave them a special place with God. They were children of God. And that's what they saw. We come from the lineage of Abraham. We're God's special children. What do you mean that we can become free? Now, I think that they forgot that in Egypt they were enslaved, right? The Babylonians enslaved them. The Assyrians enslaved them. Right now they're being ruled by the Romans, okay? So they're just a little confused at what Jesus is talking about here. And look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, and he says this, truly, truly, I say to you, listen to this part, everyone who practices sin is a slave. And so what he's saying is, I don't care if you're Abraham's children or not. Everyone who practices and engages in perpetual sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So what does it mean that that they're stuck in this sin? Well, Jesus says in verse 36, he says, "But if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed." He says, look, if you're engaged in sin, you're a slave to sin. You're trusting in sin. But I'll tell you this, if the Son of God, has set you free, you'll be free indeed. Then at the beginning of this passage, he says this. He says, abide in my word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Interesting, isn't it? Isn't it? So he goes on, verse 37, and he says this. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. He's speaking the truth, and the truth is not finding any place in their heart. They're rejecting it, like the shopaholic would reject it, or the guy with all the hobbies will reject the truth, right? They're rejecting it. He says, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen, yet my Father and you, with my Father, and you do not do what you have, or I'm sorry, and you do what you have heard from your Father. He goes on, verse 39, and he says this. He says, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham, that the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. You see what's happening here? He's saying, you're enslaved. I know that you're holding on to the fact that you're Abraham's children, but anyone who's stuck in sin is a slave to sin. And here I am, and I'm speaking the truth to you, and you're refusing to receive it. You're refusing to accept it. And he goes on in verse 40, he says, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. Verse 41, you are doing the works your father did. Well, who is their father? Let's go on. Look at verse 42. Jesus said to them, well, in verse 41, they claim that God is their father. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Look at verse 43. Why do you not understand what I say? Jesus is just continuing to reiterate, why do you not understand this? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. They can't bear to hear the truth. They can't bear to hear his word. Look at verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. So in other words, Abraham's not your father. God is not your father. The father that you're abiding in is the devil. What does he mean by that? Well, let's read. He was a murderer from the beginning. They've been talking all along about killing Jesus. Jesus mentions that several times in this passage. You're seeking to kill me. Well, your father, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning. And a murderer is someone who kills innocents, right? And they were about to kill an innocent man, Jesus. Your father has been a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Your father, the devil, does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him, it says in verse 44. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. It comes out of his own character. It's who he is. He is a deceiver and he is a liar. For he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Isn't this something? Isn't this something? Have you ever taken this passage apart? This is extraordinary what he's saying to them. You're claiming to be Abraham's children.
He's your father. Then you say that God is your father. Well, I'll tell you right now, the devil is your father. Look, truth is very hard to receive. And if we are living the lie, and we are embracing the lie, and believing all the lies of the world, we are embracing and in agreement with the father of lies, the devil. He's very clear here. He is a liar from the beginning. He is the father of lies, he says. And here's a question. Are you hearing the words of God? Or are your ears able, are your ears listening to another voice? The words of God are true, and the truth will set you free. It's very clear just in this passage. I want to show you something on the screen here. If you want to, you can write this down. If it is the lie that binds you, it is the truth that sets you free. And if you feel bound, wherever it might be, maybe you have some issues and some struggles with just, like I say, self, maybe your self-image, or maybe there's just some struggles. Maybe you struggle with depression. Maybe you have struggles with finances, whatever it is. Wherever that struggle is, inside of that struggle, maybe you're believing a lie. And if it's the lie that binds you, it's the truth that sets you free. Where are you going to find the truth? You can only find the truth in the truth of God's word. And I don't know where you are in all of this, but you can start new today. That's one of the things that we like to say here at Bear Creek. This is a place of fresh starts and new beginnings. You can start with the truth today. And here's another truth. The truth is, in order to align yourself with the truth, you have to know who the truth is. And so let's go back at verse 31, and let's just read real carefully what this says. It says this, Jesus said to them, to the Jews who had believed, these are the ones who believed, if you abide in me, if you remain in me, that's what abide means. If you stay connected to me, that's what abide means. Jesus talks about abiding in the vine in John chapter 15. But he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You're truly following me. If you abide in my word, you're truly following me. You are a true follower. You're a representation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you're abiding in me, you are my disciple. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Our desire at Bear Creek is to see that everyone is saved, healed, free, and discipled. And the reason for that is a lot of people just feel like they can just pray a prayer and they're saved, and then they just go on living their own lives like the rest of the world. But what we believe here, and this is what we call, what theologians call sanctification, what we believe here is this process of coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ where we are placing our trust, we're making a personal decision to place our trust in Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior. Lord meaning he is above all things. He is the God of my life. He is the boss of my life. We can put a new sign around our neck that says, under new management, all right? He is the God of my life. That's what it means to be Lord. He lords over us, okay? Because if he is not Lord, if he is not an authority in your life, his word means nothing to you, right? If he's not Lord, if he's not authority in your life, his word means nothing to you. He must be Lord, both Lord, and Savior. What does it mean to be Savior? It means he is the God that saves you. Saves you from what? The lie of sin. See, sin is a liar. The devil is a liar. You ever heard someone say that? I always like to say it kind of like that, okay? And sin will continue to lie to you and continue to say that if you worship that over there, and this car and this thing and this thing and these things of the world. And look, you need a new outfit. In fact, if you go to the mall, there's buy one, get one free. You can buy three outfits and get six, okay? But God's word, it speaks into those lies. And when it speaks into those lies, you've got a decision to make. He is either Lord and authority, and I will apply the truth because he's my Lord and my authority. So I have a decision to make. I can do that. And he is the one that saved me, and he's the one that's going to lead me to new life. So I have a decision to make. I can embrace that, or I can embrace the lie, and I can continue to live the lie. So this is why the truth of God is so vitally important. Next week's passage, I don't want you to miss this. Make sure you're here for next week's passage. We're going to be looking at something really important that Jesus says. Everything that he says is important, right? It's all truth. So maybe these are some of your greatest struggles. Well, take heed, because Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And if we abide in him, we're abiding in the one who has overcome the world, and he will take you through it. And he will take you to the other side. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes getting away, I keep telling my kids, my son probably could quote this. I say, Cody, be careful of the habits that you form now, because in 10 years, you'll be begging God to get those habits out of your life, those bad habits. And so be careful. Those habits, and you know this, some of you are up there in age, some are even older than me, and you know this, what it is to be stuck in a habit, these things that you say to yourself, these things you think about life. Be careful of those habits, because you'll be begging God to get rid of those one day. They're formed out of a lie. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. May your word ring true in every heart that is in this place, Lord. May those who come here today, those who have put their trust in you, who believe in you, abide in your word, that they may know the truth and that the truth may set them free. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Y'all ready to eat?